is your confidence level that in a game of this importance against an opponent as good as the Bucks, Matt Stafford will find a way to screw this up?
Great question, Ira, and we're going to talk about it right now after we thank Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. 61 plus years of family tradition, family owned. GM Sean Sullivan is ready to help every single Buccaneers fan with anything they need with the Ira Kaufman discount. BillCurryFord.com. And thanks to Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Grab a Bromosa, grab a Palm Bender IPA, get to BigStormBrewery.com, find the beer near you, enjoy the tap rooms, Big Storm Beer. And our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. Number one, that's your first phone call anytime you have a disaster in your home, mold, fire, wind, flood, whatever it is, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. They're also the number one restoration company in the Bay Area, family owned, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. The playoffs, round two, Ira, they are here. And all the fun on the Ira Kaufman podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. They're buying your vehicle right now at Bill Curry Ford, top dollar. And of course, you can buy a new vehicle or a used vehicle and get their nationwide lifetime warranty. Get shopping at BillCurryFord.com. And more important, if you need service, body work, or a personal assistance through the whole vehicle buying process, Sean Sullivan is your man. He's the GM. He's our friend. He's the host of the Best in Class podcast. He's a diehard Bucks fan since day one, and he loves talking football and helping Ira Kaufman listeners. Just say, Ira sent me. You're going to get a big discount, and Sean will guide you just like you would want someone to. It's just that simple. Fantastic opportunity at Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side. They're building out to the extreme, Ira. I know you were just down there making a payment on your cherry red Ford Escape because you don't have mail or a computer. You go old school, you drive in with cash. But Sage, Lee DeCamper's here, of course. I'm Steve Isbitz. Huge Rams game on Sunday. We've got a lot of different opinions here. We're fired up. How are you?
I think Sunday is the day, the juice, the dynamics, the intrigue to pick 'em games, in my opinion. Both home teams, Lee, I believe, are small favorites. Small. You could, attest that to the home field advantage. So basically, the odds makers are saying the Rams and Bucks are basically even. Chiefs and Bills even. I think we're in for a tremendous weekend of football, but especially, Lee, I just think these two games Sunday are fantastic.
I think Niners and Green Bay is going to be a hell of a game, and if I was going to put money on it, I would take the points in the Niners. You know me. I've been saying this for months. The Packers always find a way to choke. They always do. And the Niners, they're the hot team. They can run the ball. The Packers are, Packers give up. You can move the ball on the Packers. At least the last month of the season or so, you can move the ball on the Packers. Obviously, the marquee game, just from a national perspective, is Mahomes and Allen. That's like the Christmas dinner right there. Obviously, you got Brady versus the number two market in the country, the Rams. The highlights of the weekend are the two games on Sunday. I'm not dismissing Saturday's games.
Lee, your remark about the Packers, their propensity to choke in the postseason, I can't argue that. But, Steve, doesn't that usually happen after one or two games, I mean, deep into the playoffs? This is Green Bay's first postseason game.
Giants just absolutely ravaged the Packers in the first game of the playoffs a few years ago. Plexico Burress went nuts, if I remember right, in the first half. Ever since Rodgers won the Super Bowl in 2010, they gagged. How many times has Rodgers been the MVP? They gagged. Leopard doesn't change spots.
Well, I'm glad Lee mentioned moving the ball on the Packers, and I'm glad he mentioned a leopard doesn't change your spots, because you know whose defense is worse than the Packers? The Eagles. And you know whose defense is worse than the Eagles? The Rams. And the Bucks are going to be moving that ball up and down the field. I am not afraid of the Rams in any way, shape, or form. Overrated, 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 Ira. And it doesn't mean they're a bad team, but it's a very different Bucks team facing the Rams on Sunday. Last time they went in there without Murphy Bunting, and they lost Jamel Dean in the first quarter, and early in the second quarter, excuse me, and the Rams hadn't scored yet. And Dean went out, and the floodgates went open. Dee Delaney's in there, and they're scrambling, and the whole thing fell apart. Gronk left the game hurt, and it fell apart a little bit on the offense. They couldn't recover, but Brady still chalked up, I think, 400-something yards on the Rams. I'd have to look it up. I think the Bucks are going in there healthier. They're at home. Stafford's a choke artist. He's not even a choke artist. He's just a no artist. He's a no artist, Ira. And anybody who watched the Cardinals the other night, they rolled over. They didn't even attack the safeties of the Rams. The Rams have been pulling safeties off the street. I don't think that's going to happen with the Bucks or Brady. And the weaknesses are going to be exposed. I don't think Raheem Morris is a NFC championship caliber defensive coordinator. He took the Rams defense from what, number one the year before under Staley, who took the Chargers job, and now they're middle of the pack, Iris. You know, it's just, I'm very excited about the Bucks' opportunity here.
That was one hell of a speech, Isbitz. Yeah. Now let me tell you where you're wrong, Steve. It was a beautiful speech. While Isbitz is drowning in his own tears about Jamel Dean and Sean Murphy Bunting missing week three, he fails to mention the very real possibility, and I think likelihood, that the Bucks will not have Tristan Wirfs on Sunday. If they have him, he ain't going to be 100%, Lee. He ain't. His mobility is going to be hampered, and guess who's going to be lining up outside Tristan Wirfs' right shoulder? A guy by the name of Von Miller. And if I'm the Rams, I don't know where they've been playing Miller while he's been a Ram, but I'm putting him on the left side because that's where he played when he was with Denver. And when he made his bones coming off the left side, Lee. So he's no stranger playing that position. And Lee, I just think this is going to have a domino effect. I think the right tackle, whether it's Wirfs, whether it's Wells or Kappa, Lee, I don't really care at this point. That person is going to need help. Now, a healthy Wirfs doesn't need help, but he's not healthy. And Lee, as a result, I'm not going to rely on little Cameron Brait or O.J. Howard to add protection. I think it's going to take Gronkowski to be over there in a protection mode. And, Lee, that takes away from Gronkowski helping you downfield a little bit. Lee, to me, and I wrote a column this week, Von Miller, I think, is the key to this game.
Miller or Floyd, whoever they're going to put on the left side, they have been putting Miller on the right side. Even Arian spoke about that. Yeah, I just think it's sort of like the Bucks playing the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Chiefs were down two starters, those starters weren't anywhere in the same ballpark as Webster, Ryan Jensen. Jensen probably will play, but you know he won't be 100%. And he's got his hands full with Aaron Donald. It's not a good matchup for the Bucks because of the injuries. That's all, just because of the injuries. But I just heard some guy on NFL radio, and he said, until Aaron Donald takes over a game, he's not Bob Lilly. He's not Mean Joe Green. And there was another guy I couldn't remember. It wasn't Sapp, but some other guy in the late 70s.
Merlin Olsen?
Merlin Olsen. That's it. Merlin Olsen.
Lee, I'm not going there. Now, the funny part, Steve, the funny part, the Rams have beaten the Bucks the last two meetings. I don't think Donald's been a big factor. They've done a very good job on Aaron Donald. But, Lee, over the now a 17-game season, the guy is fantastic. I thought about naming him Defensive Player of the Year this year. He won it last year. He's won it like three times. Some people are already calling him the greatest defensive tackle. I don't know if I'll go there right now because Joe Green, I think, is the standard bearer for me at that position. But Leonard Floyd's not a bum. He's averaged 10 sacks the last 2 years with the Rams. It was a good free agent pickup after the Bears released him foolishly in 2020.
I thought the Bears.
You got Donald bracketed by Floyd and Miller. Steve, it's a problem because, Steve, we've said it so many times all year on the podcast. The Bucks have not been hit by the injury bug on the offensive line. And that was true basically the entire year. Remarkable health, Lee, up front. And that's a big reason why Brady was sacked so infrequently when he led the league in pass attempts. They got a very good offensive line when healthy. You just mentioned Jensen. He won't be 100%. Steve, I'll be surprised if Wirfs plays. It's a big concern for me.
I would be very surprised if Wirfs plays. I'd also be very surprised if Jensen does not play. But I just can't fathom that losing Wirfs, just Wirfs, yes, Wirfs and Jensen's another story. But losing Wirfs, I just don't see it as the walls caving in. I just don't see it. Are you telling me that whoever's the third down back, that he's not capable of helping out and blocking and double teaming Von Miller off the edge? I mean, come on.
That's a mismatch. Come on.
A double team? Josh Wells and a running back is a mismatch?
Yeah, because Brady's not that good of a blocker. And I love Cameron Brady, but he's not that good of a blocker. No. And I don't want to hear about OG Howard.
I'm talking about a running back. I'm talking about a running back chipping or staying in to block to help out whoever's at right tackle. That's a mismatch?
It's a bad matchup, Steve. It's a bad matchup.
So two on one's a bad matchup?
I heard the other night, Lewis Riddick, I can't remember what game it was, might have been the Rams and the Cardinals, and they had a running back trying to block Floyd, and Riddick just went bananas. Like, what are you trying to do here?
I'm talking about a double team off the edge.
Who's the other guy?
Right tackle and then the back picking him up.
Yeah, the back picking him up.
Lee, wouldn't you be more comfortable if Gronkowski's playing next to the right tackle?
Well, that's what I would do. That's what I would do, but by doing that, you know, here we go with the injuries again. You could get away with that pretty easy when you had Godwin and Brown to throw to. They're gone. So now you only have two legitimate weapons. And by the way, all the Perriman and the immortal Cyril Grayson, they're all hurt. So you only have two legitimate weapons, Evans and Gronk. So you're going to keep Gronk in the block. Then you got one. It's just a bad matchup. No matter how you slice it, it's a bad matchup. The injuries are catching up with him, man. It sucks, but.
Well, it's going to be a chess game, Ira. I don't think they can keep Gronk in to block. Last year, they kept him in against the what was a mighty Washington football team defensive line. Gronk had one target in the playoffs against the Washington last year. Zero catches, but he stayed in and he blocked like an animal, and that created the protection. But like Lee said, they had Godwin and they had Antonio Brown to go to. Yeah. I don't think there's any option of leaving Gronk into block and a significant amount of time because they got to scheme it up and put the pressure there and I'm just not scared of whoever we have at right tackle and a running back double teaming that edge. I think Donovan Smith, like Bruce Arians said, I trust my left tackle. He can hold it down on his own. He usually does.
Look, Lee and I are not saying that the Rams are the 89 San Francisco 49ers. I mean, we're not saying that. But it's a bad matchup because they play well against the Bucs. Not as big a track record as the Saints, Lee. But, you know, that Week 3 matchup, Lee, there wasn't anything fluky about it. I mean, they just looked like a better team than the Bucs did that day. Yeah, the game was in L.A., I understand that. Bucs were missing a couple of guys, but the Rams put them, Lee. The Bucs scored a little cheapy touchdown at the end, made the score a little closer, but, Lee, the Bucs never in that game, let's be honest. And last year, the Rams beat the Bucks in a tight fourth quarter game, and they ended up picking off a Brady pass during the two-minute offense. Now, look, I'm the first guy to say I trust Brady over Matt Stafford any day in the fourth quarter. But, Lee, they got Cam Akers. He helps. He looks good. He helps. What a comeback he's made from Achilles. Unbelievable.
And I hate to say this because I like the guy, but I'm done with O.J. Howard. You know, I read a couple comments on our site, joebucksfan.com, where people say, well, this is where we need O.J. Howard, or this is where O.J. Howard needs. O.J. Howard's not going to do it. If he hasn't done it, and he's now in, at best, his last month of his Bucks career, maybe his last week of his Bucs career. Let's hope not. But at best, his last month of his Bucs career. If he hasn't done it until now, he's not going to do it. And then I see Cam Akers, who comes back from an Achilles, and O.J. Howard, he goes, oh, my Achilles is fine. Well, why do you stink so bad then? Why can't you contribute? Why can't you block? After I saw what Cam Akers did, I was willing to give O.J. Howard the benefit of the doubt that he's coming back from an Achilles. That's a major injury, but enough. I'm done. He's done. I'm done.
Steve, I don't want to hear anything more about O.J. Howard, and I don't want to hear anything more about Antonio Brown. Now I saw another tweet that he's talking to Brandon Marshall, and he's saying there's nothing wrong with him mentally. He doesn't need any help.
That podcast show is actually going to drop on January 24th. Should be very, very entertaining. Sage, a big key here, what the Bucs did not do last time in that Rams game, and it was a big headline because it was so bizarre, Tom Brady led them in rushing in that game, and that's not what you want. And they've got to be able to establish the game on the ground a little bit here, certainly more than they did last time. And the game, it was, I mean, they got steamrolled in a lot of ways. The Rams were the better team, but it was still 21-14 in the third quarter. But the Bucs were struggling to move the ball. And then they had those injuries, which messed up the game plan. And, you know, I've been listening to a lot of analysts, Ira, and, you know, I think the common thread is it's one thing to be able to spend a whole week planning to make up for a missed player. It's another when the guy goes down in the middle of the game and it screws up your whole game plan. So I have some confidence that they'll plan this right. And they'll be able to put up their 30 against the Rams like they do at home consistently when it's not the Saints. Can the Rams put up 30 on the Bucs, Ira?
Well, we still have to find a way to cover Cooper Kupp, Lee. Now, the guy is a fantastic football player. He won the Triple Crown this year, you know, receptions, yards, touchdowns. That's hard to do. Not many have done it. He takes special delight in torturing the Bucs secondary, Lee. They can't cover him.
Who can?
And now, you know, they got another weapon opposite him. The tight end isn't bad. Higby. Cam Akers can catch the ball coming out of backfield. Look, Steve makes some valid points. You know, as much as we love Raheem Morris, the fact is the Ram defense hasn't been that great this year. Lee, it hasn't. Now, they didn't get Von Miller until the second week of November, and they certainly played very well against Arizona, but Raheem Morris has plenty to prove as a defensive coordinator. The Bucs still have Brady, and that brings me to a point that has to be brought up, Lee. It has to be brought up, and I believe it's one of the most important angles of the year of any podcast we've done, but we have to address it. Lee, there's always a chance this will be Brady's final game in the NFL. There's a chance.
Yeah.
You could put it at 15%. You could put it at 20%. I'm certainly not putting it at 60%. But there's a chance, Lee, the family, his wife, factors. I'm of the opinion that if the Bucs go all the way, I believe he comes back for a three-peat. Never been done during the Super Bowl era.
Yeah.
You know him, Lee. He's always looking for new challenges. But, Lee, we got to address it. There's a chance that we don't see this guy after Sunday in a Buck uniform. And then all the dominoes start to tumble, Lee. You don't want to think about it. You know, certainly Gronk will retire. Who knows what Arians will do. You got to at least consider it. It's possible.
It's possible, but hasn't Arians already said he's coming back next year?
There was a report, but I mean, you never know till it actually happens. But Arians has said many times, many ways, I'm going until I'm not healthy. And he seems quite healthy.
I just get the impression Arians is going to throw in a towel when Brady retires.
Ira, I'm going to call hogwash, to use your word, hogwash on Brady retiring. Unless he gets hurt in this game, I don't see it from any angle. I don't think there's any hint of it anywhere. I just don't see it in any possible way. He's at the very top of his game, and I don't see it. If they lose this game, I don't see it. I think it's more likely that he retires if they win the Super Bowl. He might get more pressure from different angles and places, and he may take a deep breath and say, my wife was right. I really have nothing left to prove, and let's go out a ride out of the here on top. But I don't see it. I just don't see any hint anywhere. He didn't even have a whiff of an injury. I mean, just lighting it up, even with lesser weapons, and the offensive line here is good, and the receiving core is good. Everything's good. I just don't see it.
Lee, I'm not saying that he's giving out any signals or any hints. I'm not saying that. But things can change once the season ends, Lee. It can change.
It can change, but there's two elements that there's two elephants in the room here that we're ignoring if you're going to buy that he's going to retire. First one is, how many years has he said his goal was to play till 45? Here's a guy that's leading the league in the NFL, and he's within months of accomplishing his goal. And he's going to throw in the towel? I don't know about that. Number two, he always talked about Joe Montana told him. Montana, you remember, Ira, when his last days with the Chiefs. I mean, he couldn't stay healthy. He couldn't stay in the field. Poor guy. And Montana regretted retiring. And Montana had told him, squeeze every drop of juice you have in that body till you can't play anymore because you'll regret it. And Brady's talked about that. Well, that glass of juice is full from what I can tell.
What if he takes a beating on Sunday and the Bucs lose badly? Then what?
As long as he's not hurt, I just don't see it. Yeah, I'll say just for family reasons and who knows what, I'll put it at a 5% chance, but I don't see it, Ira. If he takes a beating, then Brady looks in the mirror and says, damn it, we would have had this thing if Tristan Wirfs didn't get hurt and Jensen wasn't himself. We were right there. You know, I just don't see it. He's too much of a competitor. He seems to love it too much. I can't find a signal. I'm looking for one. I have been. I can't find it.
I'm with you. I don't see a signal. But, you know, it's one big factor, Lee. She's got a lot of influence.
Well,
as
clearly.
She should.
My
you never
thing,
know what
course.
She's thinking. You never
That's
know what she's
true.
Thinking.
But where was she at since 2012 when he was talking about playing that was 45? Didn't she say, shut up, don't say that again? He's been saying it for a decade. Like, where you been? Where you been, woman? He's been talking about this for a decade.
Well, it was worth bringing up, Ira. I don't see it. Maybe I'm blinded. Maybe I just can't imagine that they're going to tear the team apart with Brady leaving. I can't imagine that.
I don't want to, Ira, but I do want everyone to remember that Florida's Elite Restoration is who they call when they have a flood, a fire, storm damage, mold in their home immediately, 24/7, even today. Call Florida's Elite Restoration. They'll come out to your home, give you a free assessment of what's going on in your property so you have an honest voice and a real sense of what's happening before you reach out to your insurance company to make sure you don't get ripped off. I don't know how else to say it. Florida's Elite Restoration, they are Tampa Bay's and the greater Tampa Bay area's number one home restoration company, family owned. We know them, Ira. They are fantastic. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. And they work with business owners. If you're a plumber, a property manager, maybe you run an air conditioning company, whatever it might be, if you have clients and you take care of them and they have disaster-related needs, you need a go-to company, and that's going to be Florida's Elite Restoration. Reach out to owner Josh Martin. He's got more than a decade's worth of experience in the insurance industry, and he will explain how his company works honestly for a change compared to other companies, honestly with homeowners and business owners in their time of need. Florida's Elite Restoration, don't blow it. Call them first as soon as you have a problem. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. And we know, Ira, we talk about it all the time. We live it. Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Drink Big Storm Beer. It's at Publix. Find their tap rooms at BigStormBrewery.com. BigStormBrewery.com. Great place for takeout or to just enjoy the game today. Cape Coral, Clearwater, in Orlando at the Amway Center, in Odessa, right off State Road 54 on Success Drive. Big Storm Brewery, Florida's best craft beer.
Guys, is this a game referring to the Rams' pass rush and a battered offensive line? Lee, is this a game where Brady's got to get the ball out even more quickly? Could that lead to a prominent role for a guy like Gio Bernard?
I'm not going to fuel your fire about Gio Bernard. You act like that guy is freaking Franco Harris.
Gio!
He played well last week, Lee. He played well.
Kevin Minter played well when he was asked to. He's a third stringer, fourth stringer. Where was the love for Kevin Minter?
You don't act like he's Levante David or something. Come on.
Come on, Lee.
Next Gen Stats had Brady's time to get rid of the ball last week against the Eagles. It's some ridiculous, like barely over 2 seconds. He was getting rid of the ball barely over 2 seconds. So I'd suggest that he would go, especially with that pass rush of the Rams, and in your words, not mine, though I don't disagree with you, the battered offensive line, I would think they would go short passes, but hey, you know what? Who says the Rams can't protect against that? Who says the Rams can't put Jalen Ramsey on Gronk, which Steve heard Arians talk about on NFL radio, or the Total Access? I got to give Steve credit here. For all the listeners, I got to give Steve credit. He plows through all these god-awful, boring interviews, the worst being that chapstick Jim Gray and his wet kisses to Brady. I cannot deal with that for more than 4 minutes at a time. I feel like I got to go take a mental shower when I listen to that. It's so sickening. And I got to know, I don't know how Steve does it. Steve's got the discipline to just plow right through that. Steve,
what is your confidence level that in a game of this importance against an opponent as good as the Bucks, Matt Stafford will find a way to screw this up?
Ooh.
I think it's immense. I'm very confident. I mean, he is not familiar with this type of pressure situation. He's on the road. Kyler Miller took all the pressure off Stafford last week with his Jameis Winston impressions. And... And this is a game that there are a lot of people who aren't really sure that Stafford can win. They're not really sure that he can step up and make this part of his career. And Brady, I think, is just the master at adjusting. Yes, the stat Lee mentioned set a record in the NFL for this season for quickest release time to throw. It's the official Next Gen stat from the time the ball snapped to the time it's released. But it's a little misleading because Brady averages about 2.6 seconds normally, so that extra half second's a big deal, but it's not extraordinary to the point where it would change the whole offense. I don't think any of us would have realized last week necessarily that he was on some sort of freakish pace. But, I mean, they have the weapons to throw short, Ira. I'll throw you the Giovanni Bernard bone. We're probably going to see a lot of passes out of the backfield to whoever's in the backfield. And Mike Evans, they might move him around a little bit. I listened to some god-awful Rams house radio, which was a one-hour show on Sirius. It's not that bad, but Torrey Holt.
Oh, I heard that, yeah.
Torrey Holt, Ira, was, he's a guy that was debated in the Hall of Fame room the other day, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
Torrey Holt is a co-host on that show. And he's a little skeptical that Raheem Morris will handle Mike Evans properly. He thinks that Morris is going to get stuck too much in his zone and using Jalen Ramsey exotically like they've been doing. And he wants Morris to just follow Ramsey everywhere and press him. Excuse me. He wants Ramsey to follow Evans everywhere and press him. And he was describing that a receiver like Evans over the course of a game, you got to frustrate him. You got to be all over him like that. That's your best chance of really neutralizing him. And he's afraid they won't do that. He's afraid of the safeties. Brady's going to know how to carve these guys up, and they're not very good. He and London Fletcher were on the air talking about the Rams. You have to be ready to just be picked apart with Brady doing what Lee's talking about. A few, three-step drop, hit Cam Braid for six, wide receiver screen here. And all the stuff that they like to do that we've seen, but a bigger diet of it. I don't know, Ira. It's going to be quite a chess match. But yeah, to answer your question, absolutely. I wouldn't bet a nickel on Matt Stafford.
Lee, there's immense pressure on the Rams as an organization. Not just the players, the organization. Lee, they've made a conscious effort. A year after the Bucks went all in, they're all in, Lee. They're all in terms of, and they sacrificed more than the Bucks did in terms of draft picks or whatever.
Absolutely.
And the Bucks haven't screwed up their future, but like the Rams, so they're invested. Chris Russo made a great point with me. If the Rams could win this game and then they lose in Lambeau, play well against the number one seed, and lose 24-21, Ram fans aren't going to kill Stafford. They're not going to kill the organization. They lost to a number one seed on the road. But Lee, they got to win this game. They got to win this game. They don't win this game, the season's a failure for the Los Angeles Rams. Sounds crazy. Win the division title, win the first playoff game. But that's the way it is, Lee. It doesn't matter that you're playing Brady. It doesn't matter you're on the road. This is the divisional round. And if you're a Ram fan, you got to win this game and then take your chances in the championship game. A lot of pressure on the visitors, Lee.
Steve, you at one point lived in Los Angeles. I've only been there once in my life. Ira, I know you go out there periodically. So let me see if I have the L.A. fan base somewhat pegged. If the Rams lose, Los Angeles people will be upset for 2 hours. Then it's, what are the Lakers doing tonight?
You know, Lee, that's not a point. I'll let Isbitz take that one.
Well, I'm not sure exactly how the landscape has changed because it's been a while. But when I was there, the Raiders were there as the L.A. Raiders.
Oh.
And, you know, no, the Rams don't have that same level of deep-seated intensity that you'd find with the Dodgers or the Lakers, for sure. But, you know, things have changed. What I do know, Ira, is that you're right. There is more of that all-in pressure. The Rams' first draft pick this year is a compensatory pick at the end of the third round. I mean, they are all in. And one other thing I wouldn't bet against is Odell Beckham ripping his gloves off, taking his shirt off, throwing it into the crowd, and then pulling an Antonio Brown.
Steve, how do you think they'll handle Mr. Cooper Kupp, Steve? What are they going to do?
I think they'll handle him like they did last time, which was that's not why they lost that game. They lost that game in large part because DeSean Jackson ripped the cover off Ross Cockrell and the garbage secondary, which isn't going to be out there this time. Kupp, I think, had like 8 catches for 95 yards. If they can do that again, that should be just fine. And, you know, just tighten up on the other guys.
I think your numbers might be a little askew there, Stevie. I think he might have had 11 for a buck 20. But I guess I answered my own question, Lee. No, nobody's handled Cooper Kupp. Nobody's handled him.
Ira, you made me look it up. 9 for 96 yards. 9 for 96. 2 short touchdowns.
While you're looking at it, why don't you grace us with your intelligence and tell us his stats in the 2020 matchup against the Bucks? 2020.
All right. Well, I'll get to that, Ira. I'm not a calculator over here, Sage.
I think you'll be a little stunned at those numbers.
Ira.
So.
Ira, the Shaq Barrett, he said he's 100%. You believe it? And if so, is this his game? Andrew Whitworth on the other side is missing their left tackle. And I would say Whitworth is more important to that offensive line than Wirfs is to ours. Is that fair?
Well, Whitworth, big loss, Lee. But here's the difference, in my opinion. Shaq Barrett, as good as he is, and he's a big game performer. He's proven it. He's one guy. You can game plan for one guy. You can. The problem is, JPP is negligible, Lee, negligible on the pass rush. It's a fact.
Yeah.
It's not his fault, Lee. It's not his fault, but it's the case. You got Anthony Nelson, who I'd like to see a little bit more of, Lee. I like him. I don't think Shrink is ready for the spotlight of this game. I don't. But Shaq Barrett, he doesn't have JPP, who he had in the Super Bowl, as that bookend. And the Chiefs had no answer for the two of them, mostly Barrett. And of course, Devin White was much more effective last year as a blitzer than he is this year. So, look, the Rams are fully focused on Shaq Barrett. That doesn't mean he can't get a sack or two. But he's going to do it almost by himself, Lee, whereas I think Von Miller's got more help.
Oh, and there's no question. I agree with that because Floyd is a borderline double-digit guy. Aaron Donald. Von Miller is excellent. So, yeah, there's no question about that. Poor JPP, and I say this sincerely. He's been neutered because of that rotator cuff. So he's still good against the run, but he's virtually ineffective against the pass, or he rushed the pass, or I should be specific. And, yeah, that's when Nelson comes in, or Joey Tryon. Joe Tryon's been playing okay of late. He still struggles against the run, but against the pass, they use him
in an exotic blitz type manner, have them go inside, have Anthony Nelson out there to, on third down, maybe on fourth down in passing situations to spare JPP. I think the Bucs would be okay. But no, they're not the Rams front line. No, you can't compare the two.
Ira, you know what I want to see in this game? One thing I really want to see. I keep hearing from this podcast, all over podcasts, all over town, that Vita Vea is a Pro Bowler and maybe the best nose tackle in the game, and that he's got pass rush skills and he's an animal. I want to see it in this game. I want to see the Bucs let him off his leash and instead of playing 60%, play 75%, closer to 80%. And I want to see him bat down a couple of passes and wreak havoc and do all the stuff that we hear. They need him, and I want to see it. They just paid him. He seems to be healthy. I hope they let him go.
Lee, this is win or go home.
Of course.
There's no reason Vita Vea has got to take two or three defensive series off. That don't fly on Sunday.
The only way that makes sense, I know it's been stuck in Steve's craw all year. Not craw, craw. I just wonder, we don't have access to this, of course. We never will. Maybe someday the Bucs will say this. Maybe their analytics show that if Vea gets X amount of snaps, he hits a wall.
Could be.
That would explain why he doesn't go over 40 snaps very often. And if that is the case, big if that's the case, I understand it.
Free him up. Free him up. Free Vita, Ira. Ira, I got to tell you this. This is critical. Go ahead, Ira. What's up?
Well, I'm just saying, along those lines with freeing up Vita Vea. Guys, what's your confidence level that this will be a big, big game for Devin White? What's your confidence level?
8. Scale of 1 to 10, 8.
Steve, can we see the old Devin White Sunday?
Well, he's confident that he'll have a big, big game. I'd put that at a 3. It just hasn't happened. It doesn't mean I think he's going to have a bad game, but if you're saying, well, do I think he's going to have a big, big game? I'd put that at a 3. I hope I'm wrong. If he just plays kind of the way he's played all season, I think that would be okay. They have plenty of other guys who can make plays, and you set me up very well here, Ira. But first, I want to remind everybody, you can order your new vehicle right there at Bill Curry Ford, right on the phone, online with Sean Sullivan if you want. You can find his email at BillCurryFord.com. Get yourself a beautiful Maverick, a Bronco. But Sean Sullivan will help you online or by phone. Not a question. He's the GM. Grab the Ira Kaufman discount and run with it. BillCurryFord.com. And as we heard before, stock up on your Big Storm beer, BigStormBrewery.com, BigStormBrewery.com. You can find where the beer is sold near you. It's at Publix and the tap rooms, of course, where you can pick up all the varieties and feast and get some great takeout for the games. Big Storm Brewery. Ira, two things. Rondé Barber, your guy, he was not drunk, and he was on the Buccaneers radio network diving very deep into the Bucs. And I'm going to read you this quote, Ira. This is from Rondé Barber. Jordan Whitehead, to me, is the best player on the defense. I hate to say that, but with the film on, he looks like the best player on defense a lot of the time. And last week's Philly game, he looked just like I expected him to look because he was hyper-focused, made a bunch of splash plays early in the game, and when the playoffs start, those plays have to happen. They have to be consistently there or you don't win. What do you make of that? Barber calling Whitehead, saying the film says Jordan Whitehead is the best Bucs defensive player.
Well, I'll start with this, and Lee knows how I feel about this. When it comes to Rondé Barber, Lee, and film breakdown and film work, when he was a player, I don't think there was anybody better. Don't think there was anybody better.
Not even Brooks.
I called him the smartest football player in the league when Barber was in his prime, and I'm sticking with it. Anybody who could play that big at 5'10 and a buck 80 has to be putting in the time and the film work. His football intelligence is off the charts. Now, Lee, I don't think necessarily what he said is crazy. Jordan Whitehead is setting an early tone for this team. For this defense, Lee did it again against Philly. He's not wasting any time. He could do it again on Sunday with a big hit that takes down a Cooper Kupp, OBJ, Cam Akers. He's become a tone setter, Lee. He's getting better and better, Whitehead. Right now, I think he's playing better than Winfield. That would have been heresy maybe at the start of the season. I think he's playing better. More splash plays, more aggressive, and he's getting better in coverage. So, Lee, I said it a few weeks ago, Jordan Whitehead is really peaking at the right time for this defense.
He is peaking at the right time, and I don't disagree with what you said, that he's playing better than Antoine Winfield. And I have to emphasize, that's not a knock on Antoine Winfield. I love Antoine Winfield. He's playing damn good ball. He's still an impact player. But Whitehead is playing that well.
Sage, one more gem from Rondé Barber. One more gem. He said of Levante David, his ability to scrape and find the football and then make tackles is unparalleled, really, to me. I haven't seen a guy that's been able to do that like he does. Maybe Derek Brooks. David makes White better. I noticed that when I watched the film.
Well, David does make White better. I mean, that last throwaway line is more than a throwaway line, Lee. We've been saying that many times on this podcast. I'm not comparing anybody to Derek Brooks. I'm not doing it, Lee. I'm not doing it.
Well, I remember when Levante was younger, and I'm not suggesting he's better than Brooks, but when he was younger, Levante, when he was younger, I heard a lot of people, you know, dared say this might be the next Derek Brooks. They reminded him of Brooks, the way he played, his speed, and he's obviously gotten smarter and smarter and smarter. Gil Brandt was one of those guys. I was talking to Gil Brandt once. He thought he was the next Brooks, and he loved him, absolutely loved Levante David. So I don't think that's... I know what you're saying, Ira, and I know you're close to Derek Brooks. I'm not saying he's the next Derek Brooks, but he's right there. He's right there.
Steve, didn't they say the same thing about Geno Hayes for about 6 months? If my memory serves me right.
Just to finish it off, Ira, on a fun note, for those who are wondering, maybe Rondé Barber's taking too many shots to the head, I will flash us back to 2015, when Rondé Barber said this: "I'm excited to see Chris Conte. I watched his practice film the other day, and he's got the best movement I have ever seen at safety."
Oh.
Poor Rondé. Let's just say 90% of the time he's right on. Lee, I'll say this about David. He's the best tackler on the bus. I don't even think it's close in terms of form tackles. Brooks was a form tackler. Barber was a form tackler. You know, and the Bucs have had trouble, Lee, with yards after catch, run after contact, but it's really exaggerated when Levante's not in the lineup. So thank God he's there, because when you play Cooper Kupp, Lee, it's not just the catch, it's the extra 15 yards he pads on after that.
Well, here's all I'll say about Levante, David. I think this says it all. Devin White was supposed to be this next generation linebacker. You know, they oohed and aahed over Devin White like the guy who's next Lawrence Taylor. Whenever David's out of the lineup, Devin White is just a guy.
Can't argue that.
Hey, Sage, big day for Todd Bowles. Does he have it in him to finally shut the Rams down here? Because he's struggled with that. Is this his day?
Well, he's basically healthy, except for JPP, you know, which is big, but, you know, you can't expect all your starters to be ready to go at this stage of the year. He certainly knows the Rams. He knows Stafford. He knows Kupp. Whitworth hurts the, you know, that injury hurts the Rams offense. It could be a very big day for Todd Bowles. Now, look, he's not playing Jalen Hurts, Lee. Hurts can't throw the ball. This guy can. He's not playing Jalen Hurts. I don't think this game necessarily will be the deciding factor whether Bowles gets a job or not. because he's already interviewing before the game even starts, and already have some of those in the bank. But Todd Bowles doesn't have anything to prove, Lee, as a defensive coordinator in this league. He's already got the pedigree.
Before we leave, Ira, I got to ask you if this is true. Did you, in your Hall of Fame voting this week, did you actually have to sit through a 7-hour-plus Zoom meeting?
Seven-plus, Lee. Seven-plus.
I don't know how you did it without doing shots.
Last year was 9 hours, Lee. Last year was nine.
I don't know how anybody does a 2-hour Zoom meeting without doing shots, much less seven. That's just like, I would need some sort of narcotics. I just can't imagine.
Ira, let me go wrap.
Well, next year, I think it's going to be in person, Lee. I think it's in Glendale, Phoenix area, I believe. So next year, I'm planning on going to Phoenix.
Ira, because the fans are dying to know, and obviously you don't know who made the Hall of Fame, but the votes are in. You know a little bit as far as the cut to 10. You're sworn to secrecy. But you did have that 7 hours in the room. Can I hit you with some rapid-fire yes or no type questions?
All right. I'll be careful, but go ahead.
All right. rapid-fire, Ira. Were you pleased with your performance? Personally, your presentation, did it go the way you wanted it to come out?
Absolutely 100% yes.
All right. Did you feel you got the backup you were looking for, the speakers, the blend of them? Did that look good for what you were hoping for Rondé?
100% yes.
Did you get a positive vibe in the room for Rondé? Any kind of slam dunk vibe or a close to the vest vibe? How would you describe it?
Very positive.
All right, Ira. Well, hey, that's all we can ask for, really. I mean, I know you don't know what's going to happen. Was there one player outside of Rondé, was there one player that got more support than you thought, that seemed to have some more enthusiasm than you expected?
Well, there's a guy named Bryant Young who was a defensive tackle for the Niners in the 90s. He overcame, by the way, a horrific, and I mean horrific, leg injury that happened, and they thought he was going to be out a year and a half, and he was out 6 months. So he's got the perseverance. But what was interesting about the Bryant Young and the presentation, the PR guy from the 49ers, I think his name is Kirk Reynolds, and when he heard that Bryant Young made the list of finalists, he cobbled together, Lee, interesting, a Zoom call where he invited selectors to join it, gave him the information. And it was a Zoom call among, I believe it was five offensive linemen that played against Bryant Young often, including Mark Schlereth, who was kind of the ringleader of the Zoom call. And, you know, for a half an hour, Lee, these five guys, and Lee, I've always told you, everybody knows what the guy's coach is going to say and what his teammates are going to say. These are the guys that tried to block Bryant Young. And for a half an hour, they talked about him in terms rivaling Warren Sapp, John Randall, Keith Millard, some of the real top-notch deep tackles of the time. And Sapp was a contemporary of Bryant Young's. Now, I'm not going there, and I'm not going to say Bryant Young was as disruptive as Warren Sapp. I'm not going there. But the fact that Bryant's opponents, you know, that carries weight, Lee, in that room. So that was kind of a novel way of doing it. I think that's the first time that's ever been done, where there was a Zoom call organized about the people that played against this candidate, and I think it was fairly effective. Interesting.
Well, you threw me off here, Ira. Was that a Zoom call within a Zoom call?
No, it was a Zoom call about 2-3 weeks ago.
Okay. I was going to say a Zoom call, but then a Zoom call. What kind of animals are you dealing with? This kind of torture. I'd rather be sitting in solitary for 6 months than do that.
And I got to say, I want to add this. There's a new president named Jim Porter. Lee, he used to be the publisher of the newspaper, the Canton Repository. He was the publisher for 7 years.
Repository.
I mean, that's a terrible name. But anyway, he exceeded David Baker. I knew I'd get you on that. Sorry, Lee.
What next is going to be the Rick and Dayton enema? What?
So what I want to say, Steve, if I can, if Lee will make me stop laughing, is I've got a lot of positive vibes about this guy. He's only been on the job 3 months. He took over for David Baker. Everybody remembers Baker, that huge hulking guy, 6'9", 360, the guy that knocked on everybody's door. And this guy's very low-key, sort of the opposite of Baker in temperament. And he's very flexible. He's very open-minded. And he wants to hear everything that the selectors have to say about possible improvements to the process. So I've been very impressed with this guy, Jim Porter, so far. It looks like he really values the judgment of the people that make this thing happen on Judgment Day. So I'm very encouraged about that, Steve.
All right, Ira, we're not going to print the results in the St. Pete Suppository, that new online magazine that you enjoy so much. But we got to get at your pick, Ira. So, Ira,
Steve,
you...
Look. Yeah.
Go ahead.
We got to make our pick, Stevie. Got to make our pick.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you set the order, buddy. How do you want it to go? Who do you want to go first, second, third? You're the boss.
I want to go first, and Izbits will go second, and then... we will leave it up to Mr. DeKemper. I'll lead it off. I don't like this matchup for the home team. I'm not calling for any kind of blowout, but the Rams tend to play well against this team. I don't like this Von Miller addition. Byron Leftwich wasted no time mentioning Von Miller when somebody asked him about the new-look Rams. He said, yeah, they added a guy named Von Miller. That kind of says it all, Lee. Maybe Denver didn't think Miller had anything left in the tank. Well, Lee's got 6 sacks in 5 games, the last 5 games. He's a big-game player, Lee. Now, I know it was 2015. It's a long time ago. But, Lee, you can't forget what that guy did against Brady in the AFC Championship game and 2 weeks later against Cam Newton. He got the Super Bowl MVP, Lee. Not easy for a defensive player. 2.5 sacks in each game. Each game, including Brady. Maybe he's not the player he was when he was 26, Lee. But to me, the Bucs better deal with Von Miller or they're going to be in a lot of trouble. I am picking the Rams to win this game, Lee, 30-27.
Mm. Ouch. Well, painful, Ira. Painful.
What all right. You got, Izbit?
All right.
What
I'm up next. All right. So, Sage, I'm all on the Bucks bandwagon here. I will take Tom Brady, who is playing extremely well. I think that gets glossed over so much, and it's just such an accepted thing. But he is playing extremely well. He's hot. And I'm very much looking forward to him getting a second crack at the Rams in the same season. Their defense is overrated big time, and it's had a lot of issues, including in Week 18, choking big time against the 49ers and a quarterback who doesn't throw nearly as well as Brady does. And I think the Bucs are going to find a way. And so I think I'm going 31-27. I was going to go 30-27 and with the Bucs winning on a Matt Gay field goal miss to the south end zone, but I've changed that. I've changed that to 31-27 Bucs. I just think they'll move the ball. They'll put up their points, and he'll just be a little bit better than Stafford down the stretch.
Well, the Rams are flying cross country on a short week. I haven't looked up what the odds of that are, but that's not good. All the positives that can come out of this game have nothing to do with matchups. It's like Cynthia Freeland nonsense. You know, it's like this percentage and that percentage. What about the matchups? This is a brutal matchup for the Bucks. You know, we have short memories. We saw what the Bucks did to the Chiefs when they were down two offensive linemen. They weren't Pro Bowlers. And they weren't first team Pro Bowl either, or All Pro. Yeah, Jensen might play, but he's not going to be 100%, and he's got to take care of a Hall of Famer. I just do not like this matchup at all. I think the one good thing about the Bucks through all these injuries, the one constant was that offensive line could get holes open. That offensive line could protect Brady. That's how the Bucks survived all of these injuries. Well, now that rock has massive cracks in it. I just think this is an awful matchup. I think Sean McVay is drooling. I even think Raheem's happy about this. I don't think this is going to be close. I hope to God the Bucks blow them out. I hope to God the Bucks win by a point. I have a vested interest in the Bucks winning. But I, like always, I got to be honest with myself. I'm the one that has to put my head on the pillow at night. I can't just lie because it makes me feel better, because it won't make me feel better, because I'm lying to people. I'm not a liar. I'm not a con artist. Rams 34, Bucks 20.
Ouch, another painful shot. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to sleep tonight.
And I hope I am so freaking wrong.
Sage, you're quiet. You still there?
I'm still here, Steve. Tough matchup, Steve. Tough matchup. I mean, Steve, imagine if they were preparing for the Arizona Cardinals. All three of us would be picking the Bucks by two touchdowns.
Ira, yeah, isn't and I say this with all due respect, isn't this a very tough matchup for the Rams? On a short week with a brutalized secondary, and we have every reason to believe that their left tackle will either be out or seriously hampered at 40, and he's a 40-year-old left tackle.
I understand your point, but, you know, I got to give DeKemper credit. Sometimes you got to give Lee some credit. Steve, the offensive line has been the savior, the safeguard, and now we got serious questions about what's going to happen on Sunday in terms of the alignment and who's playing where and is Wirfs playing. And are we going to shift this guy over? Or are we just going to put Josh Wells in? That's no way to go into this game. High ankle sprain. I don't like the sound of that, Steve. I don't like the sound of a high ankle sprain. So I think Lee said it the best. The very foundation, the rock, the protection for Brady, and Brady does the rest. That is now in question. I don't like that as a Buck fan.
No, Lee made a great case, but I do think it's been the spin job has been extraordinary when it comes to Jensen. He did not miss a snap in that game. Didn't miss a snap. He screamed a lot. He turned purple, but he didn't miss a snap. So when's the last time that a guy played through an entire game and most of it was a blowout? And we're so worried about him coming back this week. I think it's a spin job from the coaches to get the Rams thinking about stuff. Jensen's going to play. I would bet money on him playing because there's no reason to think he won't.
I got a question for you, Steve. You watch much film on the Bucs as Rondé Barber. Now, you're not as good about breaking it down, Steve, but you watch. So here's my question, Mr. Isbitz. What happened on the four sacks that Brady endured on Sunday? What happened?
Well, we saw a couple of them were off the right edge. And we saw Marpet get beat, which we hadn't seen in a while. I don't remember the other one too well. I honestly wasn't really that focused on them. And Brady, you know, I think when we hear that, you know, that the Bucs took their foot off the gas a little bit when we on defense, you know, maybe Brady held the ball an extra tick or two once or twice because he felt he could. I know he took one sack late when we were all screaming, get him out of there. At least I was. I don't know, Ira, but the offensive line will have issues off the right edge. I have no doubt about it. But I just don't believe that Jensen, that we really have any reason to believe Jensen isn't going to play.
And look, I agree with that.
On his bad ankle, who was he blocking on his bad ankle? Fletcher Cox.
Lee, you don't think that four sacks by the Eagles is some kind of a precursor that the cracks were starting to show, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. I mean, the sacks are the sacks. You can't pretend they didn't happen. But I also can't pretend that Jensen didn't finish the game and against an Eagles, some quality players there. But it's going to be fun, Ira. I'm tense. I'm nervous. Everybody can hear, I think, the passion and the pain in our voices. We need a W here, Ira. And you scared the shit out of everybody when you said that this might be Tom Brady's last game. I apologize.
Hey, here's something good for you, Ira. And I don't know if you saw it, Ira, or not. I don't even know if Steve saw it. But, Ira, you and I both saw the standing ovation that Jensen got when he came off the field. I mean, the crowd went crazy for him. And his dad on Monday put out a Twitter for all Bucks fans, and I'm sure so many Bucks fans that listen to this podcast probably never saw it. And his dad was like very, very touched by the Bucks fans' reaction to his son. He's very touched. He wanted every Bucks fan to know how he and his family were moved by the reaction when Jensen walked off the field.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Lee, because I think it's important to note, Lee, at least as far as I'm concerned, in terms of physicality, toughness, aggression, I think Jordan Whitehead, at this point, Lee, sets the tone for Todd Bowles. And I think Jensen set the tone for Byron Leftwich. What do you think, Lee?
When the trainers were out there and the Jumbotron had a close-up of what was going on, and you could see Jensen absolutely refused to be helped off the field. He just wouldn't. It was non-compliance. He was going to walk off the field. And I remember probably my favorite movie. It's in my top three, Gettysburg. When General Winfield Scott, during Pickett's charge, was shot, and he told his adjutants, I am not to leave the field of battle until this engagement is finished. And that's what I remember. When I saw Jensen just refuse to have any help.
How are you going to top that, Isbitz?
Oh, that's like you at the press box buffet, Ira. All right, we are out of here. And Bill Curry Ford, thank you, Bill Curry Ford. Sean Sullivan is ready for you. Bromosa, that is the Tangerine IPA from Big Storm Brewery. Enjoy Big Storm beer all weekend long. And if you have a flood, fire, mold, water damage, whatever it is, Florida's Elite Restoration, that's your first phone call. Learn all about them at floridaseliterestoration.com. Sage, be well. We hopefully will be talking victory on Monday, but maybe not.
I only got two words for Lee DeCamper. Captain Repository.
Ha, 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 ha.